You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action that's coming up on Saturday, the 29th of September. And we've got a fantastic day of action in store. The main attraction, of course, being Cambridge today at Newmarket. Two Group 1s on the card as well, and a bunch of other decent races, the Group 2 contest, handicaps, plenty of stuff to look forward to. And racing elsewhere at Chelmsford, Chester, Haydock, Market Raisin, Ripon as well. What I believe is their final meeting of the season. And plenty of other stuff to keep us going as well. So do tune in to Racing Radio throughout the course of the afternoon and the evening. But here on the podcast, my name's John Gibby and I'm joined by Andy Holding. Hello, Andy.
Hello, John. You okay?
I'm very good, thank you.
Good, yeah. Man.
Good.
It's a good start.
Yes, I know. If I wasn't...
Does everyone ever come on and say, actually, no, I'm not that great?
It hasn't happened... Yet, in the time I've been doing the podcast, but I think it might only be a matter of time.
Yeah, I've got a bit of a dodgy tummy, or yeah, my legs are aching, my back's aching, I've got a headache.
I'm sure the listeners are concerned for you, Andy.
Yeah, no, I'm all okay. I'm full, clean bill of health.
Good stuff. Right, well, that's how we want you to be looking at Saturday's racing. We'll start off, why don't we start off with the Cambridgeshire? I always find it a bit confusing, this meeting as well, because I don't really know if the main attraction is supposed to be the two juvenile group ones or the Cambridgeshire. It's kind of a bit of both.
Depends on what kind of punter you are. If you're a purist and you'd like to see good quality group one horses, then obviously the juvenile races are for you. If not, then like myself, the Cambridgeshire becomes the more appetising prospect on the card. And I've always got a soft spot, I always have done, and I had a soft spot for the Cambridgeshire. It's been quite a lucky race for me over the years. And I've got a couple of horses that I do think fit the profile of previous other winners. I think you always want to have a look at an improving three-year-old moving through the ranks. And if you've got a good, solid older horse as well to throw into the mix, which I have, I think backing either one of those two won't go too far wrong. So without further ado, I'm going to put up two against the field. Al Faris is my number one choice, along with Dan Satira from the very much informed David Marnoussier stable. We'll deal with Al Faris first. He's been a model of consistency so far this season. He hasn't been out the first two. He's running good hard-knocking handicaps. Of course, he won a couple of starts ago at Goodwood in pretty impressive fashion. I love the way he travelled through that race. And then he went to York for what's always renowned as a very good Cambridge trial. And although he got beat by Piverween, I came away from that race thinking that he was probably the best horse in the race. He got marooned a little bit out in the middle where the winner... Piverween got the benefit of a run through up the inside, but he travelled like the best horse in the race. That was extended mile and a quarter. Now that won't be a bad thing dropping back in trip, because what you do want with your Cambridgeshire horses traditionally is horses that do stay a mile and a quarter really well. For instance, Sparkplug, who won the race a couple of years ago, he was a mile and a quarter horse dropping back to mile one. You need that stamina to get home.
You don't want to be coming out of the dip and then suddenly, you know,
flashing on empty.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's got good mile and a quarter form, but he's got the tactical speed based on his high cruising speed to cope with the drop back in trip. So there's no way Al Faris, I think, will run badly here. He's drawn 23 of the 30 odd runners. Whether that works out, I don't know, but he's definitely shortlist material. And the other one is Dan Satira, as I mentioned, a horse that's carried all before him so far this season, a winner of four races. I think David Marnoussier has placed this horse particularly well, and even though he got beat last time out over in the Curragh when he finished fifth of the 19, that finishing position doesn't tell the whole story, because he was actually last with 3 furlongs to run, but he managed to run by 14 horses in the home straight, including a couple of horses that have come out of that race already and franked the form. They were still standing, and Arthurian Flame, who finished 9th and 10th respectively that day, they fought out a finish at Fairy House the other day to suggest that form's really good. And I love the way this horse finished off his race. He was never going to win from where he was, but he still at least showed that he's in good nick. Now, it's a bit of a spurious kind of assumption, but the fact that he runs the July course really well, obviously with a stiff uphill finish, the theory is that he'll handle the Rowley Mile. Well, at least we know he handles a dip. So there's lots of positives in his favour. Obviously, the Manarcia camper in great form, as Thundering Blue proved the other day. So I've backed the two anti-post against Phil. You could have got sort of 14-16-1 when the betting opened up, with a lot of firms betting 5 and 6 places. I'm sure William Hill will be. Those two, I think...
7 places, I believe.
7 places, wow. I'd be disappointed if backing one of those two each way, if you could get double-figure quotes about the pair of them, that one of them won't be in the first 7. So those are my two against the field. Al Faris and Dan Satira.
Fantastic. So that's the Cambridgeshire. And we'll take a look. So we'll leave the Group 1 still last. And you've got another section on the card, and that runs in the final race.
Yeah, very competitive handicap over 7 furlongs. But a lot of these have met before, so we've got a fair idea of where we stand with the likes of Gilgamesh, Ripoff, Spanish City, Ice Lord.
They're sort of those sort of hardened campaigners in the big field 7 furlong handicaps, aren't they?
You got it, yeah. Particularly Ripoff, what a fantastic season he's had. It wouldn't surprise me if he went in again. Albeit, I think Ascot is very much his track. One of those horses I mentioned there is Daniel's Flyer, who represents the David Barron's stable. He ran in a very competitive race at the Curra on Champions Weekend when he was fourth behind Zap in a bit of a wild finish. But he's also run well at Newmarket in the past, particularly over the Rowley Mile. He started his campaign a couple of years ago beating a very good field. I think it was a hot streak handicap actually when he beat El Tikaran. So he's got form over the track. He's been really unlucky this season in so many races where things haven't quite panned out for him. Ben Curtis is riding really well at the moment. The fast grain will suit him. I'm not sure what price he'll be, but I think he'll probably be about third or fourth in the betting, one would have thought. And I'm sure he'll go well because he just seems to be maintaining his form particularly strongly.
Daniel's Fire then for Andy, and that's 5.55. Final race on Newmarket Saturday card. And we'll now take a look at the pair of group ones we got earlier on in the day. And we've got sort of a relatively short price favourite in both cases in these two races. So very much contenders that are the ones to beat. We'll start off with the 2.25, the Cheveley Park Group 1 for the fillies over the 6 furlongs. And Andy, what do you like to look of here?
It's hard to get away from Pretty Pollyanna. She's carried all before so far this season in this division. She was a wildly impressive winner at Newmarket on the July course back in July when she won by 7 lengths. And then she went to Deauville last time out and she had to really knuckle down to beat Signora Cabello, the other star filly of the season. A pair of them were well clear of a horse called True Mason, who ran really well the other day in the Mill Reef. So I've got no reason to believe that pre-morning form isn't good. It's genuine Group 1 form. She seems to be an out-and-out 6 furlong horse for now. I think she'll probably get further later on next season, but like I say, 6 months is not a problem. The only thing that would put you off really is if you're a price sensitive punter, she's going to be around about the 5-4 mark. If you're looking for an each way alternative like I often am in these races, you can bet without the favourite, then I do think that either one or two Aidan O'Brien horses could go well here. So Perfect ran well in a muddling race last time at the Curra and beat a horse called Skitter Scatter the time before, so that form's particularly good. And Fairyland as well, I do think she'll go well. She was third in the Albany Stakes at the Raw Meeting when she was probably drawn on the wrong side, and she's gone and subsequently won quite well at York, winning the Lowther, beating the Mac and Bullet in fairly tenacious fashion. So she's definitely going the right way. And as we saw this afternoon, Aidan O'Brien winning a fillies race with Just Wonderful, his fillies seem to be holding their form really well. So I think Fairyland and So Perfect, I'd probably box those two up. In my sort of strategy, without the favourite there in the big 2-year-old fillies contest.
So that's the Cheveley Park. On to the Middle Park now, which is sort of like the Colts equivalent of the Cheveley Park. 6 furlongs for the 2-year-olds, and in this contest we've got 10 sovereigns for Aidan O'Brien, and he's just been so impressive so far, Andy. Of course, when an Aidan O'Brien horse wins first time out, it does catch your attention because they're a stable where they do often come on for the run and then pitch straight into group company last time out, and a good winner there as well.
Yeah, the thing obviously I've got to go on when I'm looking at a horse winning first time out is the clock, the speed figures. this horse clocked the sort of time which already told me straight away off the bat that he was a Group 1 horse. His sectionals and his overall time when he won at the Curry, he won by 7 lengths, was astonishing. The form of that race has worked out subsequently really well. And then they went back to the Curry next time out just to sort of dip their bread in a much better race. And he came through that again with flying colours, travelling strongly, quickened up on demand, winning a Group 3 by as easy as you like. This is obviously going to be a much stiffer test because he's going from a Group 3 to a Group 1 in the shape of the middle part. But I do think this opposition probably isn't as strong as perhaps it might have been collectively in previous years. But he is up against one horse, I think, who could be the massive fly in the ointment because he's too similarly, he's got a similar profile, Jash, who was wildly impressive over on the July course first time out, clocking again a very big time for a first time out 2-year-old winner. He went to Salisbury the other day to have a nice educational run in a novice race, which he won again as he liked. He's definitely a group horse, there's no doubt about that. You can't clock the times that he does and win by as far as he has been without being at the very top draw. So I think it's a good matchup between the two. At the prices, currently I've got 4-6, 4-1 in front of me. If all eight runners go to post, then there's no hesitation in my mind that Jash is the each way bet of the race. He'll definitely be in the first three just because he's too good not to be. And he could ruffle the feathers of the favourite. I think the favourite's very good, but I don't think he's met an opponent in the shape of Jash who is of an equal standing of him. So let's see what 10 Sovereigns can do. I think Jash will certainly make him pull out all the stops if he does win. And at 4-1, you've got a nice each-way insurance just in case, he isn't up to scratch.
Jash, want to consider them for Mandy Holding, for Simon Christopher and Jim Crowley in that Middle Park Stakes. 3:00 at Newmarket on Saturday. One of a pair of Group 1s. We've also got the Cambridgeshire Handicap, so plenty of stuff to look forward to, in addition to a whole range of supporting meetings as well. So do join us on Racing Radio throughout the course of the day. And as always, Andy, thanks for being with us on the podcast.
No problem. Cheers, buddy.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.